Our Wednesday doubleheader is a good one. Kawhi, Paul George, and the Clippers in Toronto to take on Kyle Lowry and Siakam and the Raptors at 7 Eastern. Then Giannis and the Bucks hosting New Orleans. Both games are on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, here we go. Dan Orlovsky, take a look at this. Yesterday, Skins Packers under 2 minutes to play. Washington in the red zone. Dwayne Haskins is throwing for Terry McLaurin. And how much would you like to have a receiver make a play for you like this?
Yeah, this is nice when you could just throw this ball to McLaurin. Oh, reach back.
Man.
He goes full Peter Parker mode. Left hand, secure that ball with the sticky fingers, webs. That's sick.
Spider-Man.
That's sick. Spider-Man.
That's Spider-Man
Peter
for
Parker.
Those of you
it's
at
okay.
home.
Correct.
Yeah.
Let's get with it. That's a sick. That's the Ohio State connection.
You know where
McLaurin
we got kids.
McLaurin and Haskins.
Yeah, well,
good point.
Peter Parker.
Good chemistry there.
So
Peter
many
Parker.
Thoughts jump into my mind. If there was a person on the Patriots who could make that catch, they'd be 13-0 right now. But that's a whole other conversation. That's with that thought in mind, that's where we're going to begin the hour. We welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We got a full house in literally every sense of the word. And we are ready to go. Tom Brady, angry again after another loss. Only this time it's not his teammates that let him down. We'll tell you who really decided this game in Foxborough. And then the game of the year was in New Orleans. We'll tell you why one play may very well have changed the entire NFC picture. And then, if Ohio State spent the weekend winning the Big Ten title, how did they seemingly lose everything at the same time? We'll explain all those and more in this hour. Let's get up starting right now. Patriots, Chiefs in Foxborough. Although, that was news to some because they sent Kansas City's equipment to New Jersey. It didn't get there until 2:40 in the afternoon.
Man.
And then, Patrick Mahomes, he's got a hand, but Dan, it wouldn't keep him out of the game.
I love this. Little drip from the pocket, drip from the pressure, great throw to McCole Hardman just with air down the field. And McCole Hardman, one of the fastest guys in the field, able to separate early touchdown for the Chiefs.
Chiefs up 10-7, first play of the ensuing possession. Tom Brady, what?
Well, he doesn't see that corner overlapping. Greenland does a nice job of seeing that under route by number one. Then he overlaps the seam by number two. Great recognition by the corner.
What a day by
on the ensuing drive, how about the offensive creativity on the Kelce play?
Put your best players with the ball in their hands down on the goal line. They ran this in 2017. Really good use of the wildcat by Kelce following the left side of that line.
Patriots booed by their fans going off the field at halftime 17-7. They need special teams to make a play, and Marcus, that's what they get.
They do, and this is what great teams do. They figure out ways to try to win games. Now, obviously, this offense don't want to win a damn thing for the Patriots, but this special teams and this defense is trying to get it done as much as they can.
They convert that into a touchdown. Two-point conversion, no good. So it's a 10-point game. Still a 10-point game. Mahomes, Kelce. Kelce, fumble. Now, this is a critical play for so many reasons. They call him down by contact, which means after Belichick challenges it, they do rule it a fumble correctly, but the scoop and score from Gilmore doesn't happen. Plus, Belichick has to use a challenge, which was his second one, so he has none left. And that becomes critical because on the ensuing drive, it's Brady, it's N'Keal Harry, and this is a touchdown, only it isn't.
Watch the official. He's looking right at the left foot by N'Keal Harry. This should be an easy call. There should be no question. This isn't even close to being out of bounds when it comes to NFL standards. Should have been an easy New England touchdown.
And yet the Patriots can't challenge it because they have no challenges left. And so they got to try and score, and they can't. Brady is sacked. So it's a four-point differential on that because they make the field goal at 23-16. After a Patriot defensive stop, they get it back. And finally, they find some offense on a trick play.
Well, they should have James White play quarterback if they're going to throw it to Jacoby Myers to make sure that he finally catches the football. Really good urgent design and play call by Josh McDaniels to get something going for this offense.
Yes, your point being that he can't catch. Then, later in the drive, 3.5 to go in the game, fourth down, here's your ball game. Oh, Tom Brady's got wheels.
Well, really good job by Brady just seeing man coverage. Everyone's backs were turned. Second, third, or fourth quarter, there was one third or fourth down conversion. It was on a Tom Brady scrimmage.
Sets up another fourth down play, and Dan, here's your ball game.
Well, he's trying to find Edelman versus all-out pressure. It's a good play. He's got Jacoby Myers underneath, but that's a great play by Breland to go over the top, not hit, and get that left hand in.
Patriots, tough loss. Bill, Brady, let's talk.
Bill, how do you feel overall right now about the state of your offense?
I think we lost a close game to a good football team. If we could play a little bit better, I think we could win.
Well, we just got to go out and try to play better and try to win, you know, next week's game. So disappointing, but, you know, not going to feel sorry for ourselves. Try to go back to work and do a better job.
No, not okay. All right. I mean, this has to be said. And anyone who knows anything about me knows I have been a Jet fan my entire life. I root against the Patriots every week. But the refs cost them this game. There's no other way to say it. They cost them this game. They cost them far more points than the final difference was in the score. Let me show you one more play. Right before the Brady scramble, he's got a pass in the air to Philip Dorsett. If this is an interference, then interference has never been committed in the history of professional football. But Belichick can't challenge it because he has no challenges left. And it isn't overturned from New York because it isn't in the final 2 minutes the way that happened in the Jets and Dolphins game. So, Rex, I know you want to joke about it. I know you don't like the Patriots any more than I do. But at the end of the day, when you lose a game and that many calls go against you and you're the coach, how do you feel?
Oh, trust me. I've had it happen to
me. Of course.
Against New England a couple of times. So, I mean, I'm not feeling bad for this situation. They're not going to change the rules. They're not going to do anything like that. This just happened. Is it an embarrassment on the league? Absolutely is. But here's the amazing thing to me. Like, we're sitting here saying the officials cost the game. No, how the hell New England's still in this game is beyond me.
But they are, right?
They got outplayed like crazy in this game. So that would be, that's something you're going to be more concerned about. Look, they're going to win their division. They're going to host a playoff game. We all get that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I would be more, a hell of a lot more concerned about how inept I am on offense than the officiating, which, by the way, was horrible.
Yeah, they're still in the game because they have the best coaching staff, Mario.
Absolutely.
But either way, there's no security blanket for Tom Brady. It just seems like he doesn't trust these players, doesn't feel like he knows that somebody's going to catch the ball when he needs him to. What can they do to fix that? Because they've said they're not going to sign Antonio Brown.
Schematically, usually you try to go to something to help you, right? We look at the double pass that they threw with James White, and they got some yards to Jacoby Myers. But here's the deal. When you're deficient, this league, they pay millions of dollars to guys because they change games. The Patriots don't have one of those guys. They used to, and now I think they went under the assumption that Tom Brady could lift this team beyond what the talent was and the deficiency on the outside and the offense standpoint, but they just can't. They don't have enough weapons offensively to make anybody worry about taking care of that. Gee, what's...
Let the record show, I just spilled water all over the desk, but we're fine here.
I'm going to save this just to make
Here's
sure
why, because, I mean, I just can't watch Jacoby Myers drop balls. I can't do it. He held one up in the end zone because he almost caught it. He was so excited. So let's talk for a moment there about that last play, because on the fourth down play, you're telling me Brady has Jacoby Myers open in the end zone, but he goes to Edelman anyway.
Yeah, I think Brady's got Jacoby Myers. Brady is a quarterback who always makes the right throw. For 20 years, he has thrown the ball to the right person. He has gone play over player. Okay, the read tells me to throw it to this guy, no matter who he is, because I believe that he's going to make this play, he's going to make this catch. I've seen it enough. And I think what we're watching over the past couple weeks is Tom Brady having to choose players over plays, or spots, because he doesn't think anyone will make a play. We've talked often about this Patriots football team, and we've said, it's December. They usually know who they are by now. We usually know who the Patriots are. We do. We just don't recognize
them.
We don't have any evidence that this is who New England has been.
What's you can that? Bring it out to the table.
Spill on aisle four.
I literally spilled water all over the entire desk.
Is this Bounty?
Marcus, I'm coming back to you.
They're all not very absorbent.
Quicker picker-upper?
The Patriots have now lost to the Ravens, to the Texans, and to the Chiefs. Those are three teams that if they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, they're going to get through. I will ask both of you, Marcus, starting with you. Do you see any way in the world New England has been in three straight Super Bowls that they make it four?
Hell no. All right? And listen, this is not about the coaching staff, Tom Brady at this point. This is about how good the teams are that they have to go through. I think we get caught up and enamored with the New England Patriots because we've watched them for so long have so much success. Well, good things come to an end. Like you, a few weeks ago, you said LSU couldn't go into Tuscaloosa. We have grown accustomed to saying, well, the Patriots will get over it. The problem is they don't have nobody to get them over it. That's the issue. They've always at least had one guy that was special that could change games. Recently, that was Gronk. You look at this roster on offense, they don't have it.
Rex, no, there's no speed.
No way to get out of the AFC.
No chance. No, absolutely no chance. Look, we talked about Tom Brady has lifted this team.
Yeah.
Why? They beat the teams that they could have. All right? They've won 10 games. How the heck this team has won 10 games is beyond me. We've never seen this bad a Patriot team. I love their defense, but this offense, there's no chance.
All right, so that's the top of the AFC. Let's talk about the top of the NFC and what may very well have been the game of the year yesterday in New Orleans in the second quarter. These are two great defensive teams, right? Niners and Saints. It's 27-14 in the second quarter. And then, oh, the tricky 49ers. Dan, they've got it going on.
You could tell by Kyle Shanahan's play calls how urgent this game was for him. He was in his bag early on with all the trickery. Double reverse pass, great throw by Emmanuel Sanders. He knew he had to score a ton of points on the road.
Sanders threw one and caught one in the same game, first Niner ever to do it. Controversy at the end of the third. Saints are back to punt, but they're not. Taysom Hill is throwing a pass. Do we have pass interference? Do we have defensive holding? We have nothing, and Sean Payton can't
challenge you can't call pass interference because that's not part of this. They protect the punt and punt return teams. Potentially holding. From what I've been told, no official in the world is going to throw a holding flag in that situation.
Rex will explain why in a minute. Now, under 10 minutes to go. Third and eight for the 49ers. Garoppolo for Kyle Juszczyk. And watch Juszczyk get hit right in the head. And this is going to give the 49ers a fresh set of downs. Rex Ryan, is it the right call?
Yeah, it's absolutely the right call. Player safety is the most important thing we have in the game. And it's the right call. I also think that Harvard education paid off right here. When he grabbed the head, he knew darn well he's getting the 50-yard
I had the same thought you did. Second and goal. It's Garoppolo. My favorite name in the NFL, Kendrick Bourne.
Well,
touchdown.
It's just really good by Garoppolo, just buying time, overcoming, doing more than what coaching is asking of you. Move the pocket, find Bourne in the back of the end zone.
So the Niners capitalize on the penalty. They're up nine. Ensuing possession, can't guard Mike.
This is a sick route by Michael Thomas. He seamed inside and then absolutely slaps the corner by him. Great throw by Breeze.
So it's 42-40. Niners will kick a field goal, so they're up five. And it's Breeze, and he's throwing, and it's incomplete. But hold on, there's a flag. Rex, is this a good pass interference?
No, I mean, Greeny, it doesn't really matter because are they going to go back, review it? We don't know what the hell's going to happen, so we play on.
Well, here's what happened. They would get a first down, and then it would turn into this. Breeze, Smith, touchdown. Saints, up 46-45. They go for the two, and critically, they don't get it. So it's a one-point game. 49ers, here's your ball game. Final 40 seconds. Fourth down play. George Kittle. The play they'll talk about forever.
I love the design. And then Kittle. Is this Mike Ditka? Is this Mark Bavaro? Is this Gronkowski? Or is it the Hulk from the Avengers? Look at the physicality by Kittle right here. I'm not going to go down. I'm going to take you for a walk 15 yards and make sure we get into field goal range. That is an individual effort, and I don't know how many guys in the NFL can make that play.
They would tack on the 15 for the face mask, and that sets up this. This is how the best game of the year ended. Robbie Gould, it's good. Niners, a dramatic win, 48-46. Sean Payton, your thoughts.
I don't want to answer one officiating question today, so I won't. Keep going. Sorry. Listen, you're talking to me right after a tough loss, so are you telling me how I'm supposed to feel? All right, I don't feel encouraged. All right, I feel frustrated because we had opportunities earlier in the game offensively to take advantage of field position. We had a number of opportunities. We had missed assignments, so no, I'm not encouraged that way.
Look, he's upset because he knows how important that game is. That could very well determine if these teams meet again, which building it's played in, and it'll be San Francisco, at least as it stands now. Rex, quickly, explain the rule, because it was really your dad who changed that.
It really was. And what he did, he used to take the punt formation, throw the ball straight up in the air, knowing that his guy can catch it, or you're going to get a pass interference, or at least illegal contact down the field. And he did it like six or seven times in one season. After that, they changed the rule.
Thanks, Dad.
You know, either way, thanks, Pop.
It's pretty good, though.
Either way, at the end of the day, this game's about the 49ers, and particularly that fourth down play to Kittle. It's on Jimmy G, but Kittle's toughness, they're going to remember that for a long
time. Yeah, if the 49ers go on and win the Super Bowl, they're going to be able to point to that play and say, we won it because of that play. I mean, that play wins them the football game. The effort by George Kittle. George Kittle is becoming one of those guys in the NFL that teams, your own team, can go, we've got Kittle. You don't. What's the difference in it? Well, we've got George Kittle, and you don't. Good luck trying to defend him. He's become our version, our decade worthy of Rob Gronkowski. But if the 49ers go on to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be because this play. It's going to be because they have home field advantage. It's going to be because they're a West Coast team that doesn't have to go east for the playoffs, and they don't have to go through New Orleans. Like, that's how much that one play carries moving forward.
Can I tell you why they're going to win the Super Bowl?
Please do.
You're right. It's not the George Kittles and all that. It's because they had the faith in the quarterback on a fourth and one to put it in his hands that he would make the right decision. Like, did we ever expect that with Jimmy Garoppolo? We've been sitting back wondering, oh, I don't know if they got the quarterback.
But that's been a worthy question.
Here.
Like,
so
that is a fair question to ask of Jimmy Garoppolo.
You're
right?
Taking the Niners over the Ravens?
Look, I've said this the whole season. I thought the best team in the league was the 49ers. But no, I'm going to take the Ravens.
But the Ravens are on one side of the draw, and the Niners are on the other.
See it again.
They might see the Saints again, and we've talked about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and with the Vikings and Seattle in their own division. Do you think the Niners right now look like the team to beat in the NFC?
They look like the team to beat because they picked the team. They just beat the team I picked to win the Super Bowl in the New Orleans Saints. And then to go into that place and be able to get a win, when you go toe-to-toe, what changed it for me, G, we knew the San Francisco 49ers had a good defense. This was an anomaly for them to give up this many points. I don't think they give up this many points the rest of the way. But the fact that Jimmy G and this offense was able to continue to respond to what Drew Brees and the Saints offense was doing, which we've known them for years, was really impressive. We like answering the question for Jimmy G, can you do this against another Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best of all time? Yes, he stood in the pocket. He scrambled and got third downs when he needed to. It wasn't just turning around. Think about the narrative for the 49ers earlier this season. We talked about how well they ran the football. I'm not sure if Shanahan knew he had this in Jimmy Garoppolo before this game took place. It was just a great win for them because they discovered a lot of things they can do now.
When the Saints scored that touchdown that put them up one, I literally had a tweet ready that said San Francisco has lost three games by a total of 7 points, and they're going to wind up a wild card, and instead they go down and do it. And the other thing I'll just say quickly, for anyone under a certain age, Rex and I are the only ones, that play by Kittle, that's what football used to look like.
Oh,
right?
No question.
That was what football looked like in the 70s.
I played in the league. You played quarterback.
That's why you had to throw that in there.
You
I was waiting for that.
That's what football looked like when the Green Bay Packers were doing it in the 60s and the Steelers were doing it in the 70s. That play yesterday made a lot of
noise. You weren't around in the
60s. Larry Allen.
Ear holing. Rolling guards.
Let's go.
People getting slapped asleep.
Let's go from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Yeah,
football.
Let me see if I can peel my wet paper off the table here and carry on. Finally, we have Baker Mayfield, and he is now criticizing the medical staff. Guys, I don't know how else to put this except for that you have to take a listen to what he said about how they handled Odell Beckham's sports hernia injury.
I'd say that, you know, it wasn't handled right. He's not able to run as well as he should be able to, as well as he knows, and that's frustrating for him. You can sense that's some of his frustration where that comes from. So it wasn't handled the right way in our training room. So we'll you know, it is what it is. And so his not 100% is still good enough for us.
Can I give this kid a little advice?
Yeah.
Please
all right,
do.
Because of a guy that butchers press conferences like I would always do, this guy right here is the same way. I had Bruce Spate was the greatest ever. All right. He used to tell me, he goes, Rex, you don't have to swing at every pitch. Dude, don't swing at every pitch just because you did 20 commercials in the offseason and you were almost 50% completion rate against Cincinnati Bengals, worst pass defense in the league, doesn't give you the right to comment on the entire building. So just, you don't have to swing at it. Let it go, okay?
Marcus.
How about that?
What?
Right?
Why is he talking about the medical staff?
Dan, help me. I can't understand. Like, so I got killed by Cleveland Browns fans, right, for saying I thought Baker Mayfield was average. That was my opinion. You can think what you want. Sure. That's football. My whole issue with Baker Mayfield is, number one, this ordainment of being a team leader, right? Like, you ain't been in the building more than 12 months, and they already saying – but why do you continue to talk about things that don't have anything to do with you? I can't, for the life of me, Rex, this was the code I was brought up under in the NFL. If it doesn't concern you and it's somebody else, only positive things. If you don't have anything positive to say about anybody in your building, any part of your team or organization or franchise, keep that to yourself. Everything is in house. He has continued to comment on things that doesn't concern Baker Mayfield. Now you got to walk back into a building with a medical staff that's responsible for making sure you're healthy. And you
just you're okay. Get back out there.
I think this is why I'm like, Baker needs to understand the magnitude of his words. You are not at Oklahoma anymore. You are talking about grown men and their livelihood.
Yes.
You were supposed to be the reason that Cleveland flipped. You were supposed to be part of the change in Cleveland. You were drafted to be the guy that was going to take this organization from being a laughingstock to being one of respect. You need to understand the things that you say carry weight because you're the CEO of a billion-dollar company. Circumstances don't create character. They reveal it. Your circumstances have not been good this year for Cleveland. Be a leader. Be an organizer. Be a difference maker for the positive for your team, not for the negative. Baker, you were supposed to be the guy to change this organization for the good. You've only been part of the problem.
Go ahead, Swagger.
Gee, it is so frustrating to me because, look, this is one of those situations where we look at Cleveland and everybody had their thoughts about what they would be as a football team or not. Listen, man, this position, and you said it. You said it, G, on this show. I don't know if a quarterback can lead being the type of guy Baker Mayfield is.
Because it's never happened.
It's never happened.
Right.
And now you comment. You comment on Duke Johnson. You talk about, first of all, his response to Hugh
right.
after they fought. That is so disrespectful. You haven't done anything. Nothing to earn the right to look at a coach in the face like that that's been in the league that long. And now you come out and you talk about, you don't, Baker Mayfield. You are not the owner of the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
You didn't start this franchise. Relax, bro.
But part of the problem is put on. They gave him the problem. They gave him that thing.
Hold this thought. We're going to come back.
Yeah.
We're
gonna come,
obviously, Rex doesn't hear the
count. Don't forget it.
Stand by.
Yeah,
Tom Brady's last pass Sunday was knocked away. We'll explain why the Patriots quarterback had a better option and what his decision says about his confidence in his teammates. And then, a game that meant very little to absolutely anyone, Brian Flores was enraged at the end, and he was 100% right. That and more on the way. And I need a towel.
A big towel.
As we continue, a really busy half hour coming your way on Get Up, including in 5 minutes, how much of the fault for the Patriots' struggles fall on their quarterback? You'll hear Swagoo interpret the words of many, and then Dabo Swinney. Some would suggest he has the easiest job in coaching because the media keeps giving him all of his motivation. But first, I love this one from Sneaky Hembo today. With the Patriots looking vulnerable, which two teams played in the last AFC championship game that the Patriots did not? That's the question. The answer's coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back. It's everyone's favorite time. Hembo has a question and Rex tries to answer it. Which two teams played in the last AFC championship game that did not involve
the Patriots?
True.
True.
I'm going to say true. The only time I've ever got one right, I said true.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say Pittsburgh-Denver.
Pittsburgh-Denver.
Yep.
Guess what? You were in the game the last time it happened, Rex. It was the Jets and the Steelers in 2010.
Of course I was. I'm so good at this game.
New England has been in the AFC Championship 8 straight years.
That tells you how long ago it was.
God. Okay. Let's show you some of the struggles of the Patriots yesterday. The Patriots and Tom Brady looking to get back on track against the Chiefs. And all of these miscues. Dan Orlovsky, second quarter. Brady looking for Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, this is a miss by Philip Dorsett and Brady with communication, timing of a route, story of the game. Brady, we're going to see another one. Jacoby Myers, remember that name. A drop on third down. Big for this Patriots offense.
Yes, I mean, Jacoby Myers dropping it was unfortunately a very common theme yesterday. Early fourth quarter, down 10. Brady for Myers again. This time he gets a flag.
Yeah, there's a flag here, but this is another drop. Tough catch, absolutely, but this is the NFL. This is another drop by, remember the name, Jacoby Myers for this offense. Now we see second and goal. Brady comes back. Here's another drop by Jacoby Myers. There's a theme here for this Patriots offense. That's 3 times dropped from the quarterback.
And thus, on the play that ends the game on the fourth down, he doesn't go to Myers.
And there's a chance for him to throw this ball underneath to Jacoby Myers. He decides the only guy that I think is going to make this catch is Julian Edelman.
Knowing from experience is brought to you by Farmers Insurance, and I have a feeling I know where you're going here, Dan, after what we just saw, but how did Tom Brady's in-game experience impact his decision-making yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, everyone at home, pause. I'm aware of what I'm about to do, but we have to pay attention to what happened on that fourth down. I just showed you all those drops by Jacoby Myers for this Patriots offense. Now, listen, fourth and three, fourth quarter, there's a timeout, so you can throw the football wherever you want here. Now, the Chiefs are going to come out with this all-out pressure, and Brady sees it, and he's going to start communicating to Julian Edelman and his receivers. And what they're going to try and do is a play that you often see. Edelman's going to go up to the corner, and Jacoby Myers is going to come onto the shallow right here. Now, this is what is going on with this Patriots offense. I have talked for months that there's a lack of trust between quarterback and receiver. I just showed you those three drops by Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers is absolutely wide open on fourth down right here. The Honey Badger plays over the top. He's going over the top of this pick route. Tom Brady, the quarterback for 20 years who has thrown the ball to the right person, is staring right at Jacoby Myers, but will not throw that football and instead throws to a covered Edelman, and Breland's able to make that pass breakup. So I want to ask you this question. Is it the 42-year-old quarterback? Maybe he can't see anymore? Does the 42-year-old quarterback not know who to throw the football to anymore? Or maybe, just maybe, the 42-year-old quarterback is so tired of being disappointed by those around him that he's willing to throw to the wrong person because he knows that if I throw it to the right guy, it's going to be a drop.
Yeah, and based on many things, great work there, Dan. It was even remarkable that they were in the game at this point to have the chance to be able to even make that pass.
But that's the Patriots for 20 years have been notorious to getting to the moment. And then the quarterback knows, I trust you, I trust you. I've seen you make this play. I've seen you make this play, and I'll go to you.
Yeah.
And for him to pass up the right receiver to throw to the wrong guy is indicative of, I know you won't make that play.
So I mentioned there were other factors involved. Officials played a big factor in that game. But, Greeny, that's not the only game where the officials had a big decider in it.
Yeah, the officials actually decided the game between the Jets and Dolphins yesterday. I was probably the only human being on planet Earth who was watching this. Third down and 17, the Jets down two in the final minute of the game. Again, it's third and 17. Sam Darnold throws a pass for Vincent Smith that's incomplete. No flag on the field. But hold on, in the final 2 minutes, New York decides they want to look at it again, and they make that into defensive pass interference. Brian Flores rightfully looks like his head is going to explode, and candidly, I don't blame him, because it would set up, again, it's not even going to be close to a first down if the pass was complete. Instead, they decide to make that into interference, and it sets up Sam Ficken kicking the game winner for the Jets, 22-21, and Brian Flores was aggravated and had every reason to be. Here's what he said after.
Flo, what had you so upset there at the end of the game? Was it
lost the game.
Were you upset about the call against Needham, the defensive pass interference?
I was upset we lost the game.
What did you see on that play? Did you cover it fairly?
I'm not going to answer any questions about the officiating.
Let me clarify when I said in the highlight there, New York decided to look at it. I assume most people that watch football by now know in the final 2 minutes, those replays can be initiated from a command center in New York run by the head of officiating, Al Riveron. When we have had so many conversations this season about pass interference calls that coaches challenge that the officials wanted no part of overturning. There's not a human being on planet Earth who would have complained if they had done nothing there. Were you surprised they did what they did yesterday?
Super surprised, G. And look, this is one of the culminations of the rule. This is that particular play is what everybody was concerned about after what went down with the Saints in the NFC Championship. It's a result of overthinking things and not letting actual football play out at times. Like, we can get mad about officiating, and I'm with you, Rex. I'm more of a officials been missing calls forever. Like, I'm more of that guy. But with that being said, when you have this opportunity, and look, earlier this year, I gotta apologize to Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. I thought they were tanking.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously they're not, because he almost went straight back to Brooklyn on these referees. But with that being said, you think about how this thing plays out. And I continue to say this, G. We can talk about losses. We can talk about players being mad, coaches being mad. These are livelihoods. Losing games costs you your livelihood with that particular organization.
Oh, no, absolutely. And this with Brian, I feel really bad about this. And you're right. I mean, Marcus, this team's competing their butts off.
Yeah,
and whether they're trading away, you know, they're trying to build for the future, I get it. But they're still trying to win these games. And for you to take this game away from them is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, look, this thing right here for them to, hey, no, you know what? We're going to give them this one. Wait a second. It was they can't make up their mind. Do they want to do a ticky-tack thing, which is what this would have been, or do they want to stop the horrendous
the
call?
One, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what it was supposed to be. Yeah. Now what, we're changing in midstream? This was an awful thing. And, Brian, unfortunately, this is going to cost you about $50,000. Trust me, I've been there. When you go after an official at the end of a game, maybe in his case, 25, because he probably hadn't had the streak that I had. But, you know, he's right, and he'll give that thing grudgingly. His wife will have to pay it, and she'll be ticked off. But you know what? I love it, and I tell you what, your football team's going to love
Absolutely.
His reaction.
Listen, I have a couple of thoughts. One of them is, Dominique Foxworth said on this show, Brian Flores should get some votes for Coach of the Year, and the reality
no,
is he should.
No, he
doesn't. That team plays every week like it's the Super Bowl.
So did my
and
team.
Your organization didn't, in theory, quit on you, try to make you lose. They have. Let's not bury the lead here. The lead here is that is not what this rule was put in place to do, okay? They just decided yesterday to do something no one needed, no one wanted, no one asked for, and it is actually running contrary to the purpose of replay and the installation of this rule this season. That was an absolutely terrible decision, and there was no reason in the world it needed to be made. And I say that as a fan of the team that wound up winning.
That's a great point, and it's so obvious, but I hearken back to the New England Patriots game. That call to call N'Keal Harry out was an assumption.
Yeah.
You assumed he was out of bounds because clearly he was not. Now, I don't know if the white cleats helped him or not.
Right.
But when you look at this situation, you reverse a call that should have stood.
If it came in the last 2 minutes, that would have been a touchdown. So this comes in the last 2 minutes. This was not a good day for NFL officiating. Laura, let's get up and go.
Let's do it. And Greeny, we start with the NBA. LeBron and Anthony Davis continued their domination of the league Sunday night. Davis finished with a season-high 50 points, while LeBron poured in 32, added 13 assists in the Lakers' 142-125 win over the Timberwolves. The 82 combined points by LeBron and AD are the most by a Lakers duo since Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol. Remember those guys? Combined for 92 on February 2nd, 2009. 20-year-old Luka Doncic continues to establish himself as an elite player in the NBA. Sunday night, he finished with 27 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds in the Mavs' loss to the Kings. It was Doncic's 19th straight game with at least 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. That's passing Michael Jordan for the most consecutive such games since the NBA-ABA merger. How about this? Ole Miss hiring Lane Kiffin as their new head coach. Swaggoo, Kiffin back in the SEC.
Kiffin back in the SEC. Gonna be a really good 2-year run, man. Got to put points on the board. Ole Miss know that they can score. He's going to recruit well. And then Lane Kiffin is going to look for the premier job in college football. Nah, all seriousness, this is a great hire for Ole Miss. They needed a coach like this. They needed cachet. They needed to bring attention to the program. Lane Kiffin is back in the SEC. Everybody watch the hell out because he is a goon, and he's going to be a goon to everybody.
It's almost like you have a ghostwriter for your comments. Hey, they're third in the playoff rankings but favored to beat Ohio State. Why, Clemson is the team to beat in the playoff. We'll tell you about that next on Get Up.
Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.
We ask you to join ESPN and the V Foundation in the fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And with that in mind, we remind you tomorrow is the 25th annual Jimmy V Classic at the Garden. Number one, Louisville takes on Texas Tech. And then 7 Eastern, it's Indiana and UConn come after that one at 9. Both games are on ESPN, and you can see them live on the ESPN app.
What does Swaggoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He lying, G.
Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It is a Tuesday staple, but Swaggoo is with us on a Monday. He will interpret the words of others because you need to understand what they're really trying to say. We begin with the Patriots. They heard boos at home yesterday in their loss to the Chiefs. Tom Brady was asked about it after the game.
You hear cheers, you hear boos. It's part of being in sports.
That's what Brady says. What does Swaggoo say?
Man, this is what Tom Brady really meant to say. Who the hell y'all booing? I'm the GOAT. You better boo the rest of these bums that I'm playing with on offense. But I know damn well y'all ain't booing me after 20 years and 6 Super Bowl and 9 appearances. Boo them. Don't boo me. If you even want to boo Belichick, and I know he the greatest coach ever, boo him. But you damn sure ain't booing me for all that I done for you.
Well done. Let's go to the next one. My favorite play of the day. Maybe my favorite play of the year. George Kittle, the play of the season, carrying people on his back on a huge fourth down conversion that set up a game-winning field goal. Here's what his coach, Kyle Shanahan, had to say about it.
Kittle made a hell of a route, broke that tackle and taking it down the sidelines. That I thought I was going to have to call a number of more plays to get into field goal range, but Kittle took care of that fast switch to probably saved a few years of my life.
All right, that's what he said. What does Swaggoo say?
Shanahan, you are exactly right. You don't have to call another play because Kittle is a backyard brawler. There used to be this dude named Kimbo Slice that would knock people out for a little sum of change. Then he ended up in the MMA knocking people out. That is who you have at tight end. He's damn near his own Infinity Stone from Avengers. Just give him the ball and crazy things will happen. You will either win the universe back or you'll lose the universe depending on how he feels. Even when they face mask him, even when he's blind, he punches people in the face and gets yardage. Kittle is an Infinity Stone or he's slash Kimbo Slice. Take it how you will.
All right. Next, we get to Baker Mayfield, who after a Browns win yesterday threw the team's medical staff under the bus for how they've handled receiver Odell Beckham's sports hernia injury. Here's what he said.
I'd say that, you know, it wasn't handled right. He's not able to run as well as he should be able to, as well as he knows, and that's frustrating for him. It's you can sense that's some of his frustration where that comes from. So it wasn't handled the right way in our training room. So we'll, you know, it is what it is. And so his not 100% is still good enough for us.
Oh my God! Anyway, that's what he said. What does Swaggoo say?
So like, hey, yo, listen, guys, listen. I'm Baker Mayfield. I'm the head coach. I'm the quarterback. I'm the GM, I'm the president, damn it, I'm Haslam. I own the whole thing. So I can say what I want to say. The training staff, they got to take care of me as a player, the player part of me, they are not taking care of OBJ. And look, I got to do something about it. I got to move this franchise in the right direction. It ain't going to be with my arm. It's going to be with what I'm saying. So I'm going to keep saying stuff until I finally get something right. But until then, y'all should have took better care of OBJ. And if I get a bang or a bruise, please take care of me.
I want to bring Rex into this conversation because we were talking about this earlier.
Come on, coach.
And obviously, as our producers talk, Rex doesn't hear it because he blew right through our break. So you didn't get a chance to give your commentary, but you and Baker have had some comments over the course of the year. What was your take on this?
Par for the course. I mean, this kid just doesn't get it. And look, part of us, we created this monster. I mean, 20 commercials he's done. We gave him the Heisman when it should have been given to Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's picked the head coach of this franchise, you know, to your point right there. I mean, this guy, why not? GM everything. And to me, we helped create it. But kid, like, grow up. You know, and there's people that, where are the people that help this guy? To just say, hey, listen, shut up. Don't swing at every pitch. Talk about the game. Talk about how you're going to get better. Because trust me, Cat, you need to get a hell of a lot better.
Listen, they've had, in the last 3 weeks, two big divisional wins. One of them was against the Steelers, and all anyone wanted to talk about after that was Myles Garrett, and understandably so. And now they win a game in the division, and all anyone's talking about is Baker Mayfield throwing his training staff under the bus.
He's overshadowed it all year long. Look, the responsibility for a quarterback is to not only lift their team, but to make sure the messages right coming out of the building. That's your responsibility. That's why they pay them all that money. That's why they usually get drafted first round, first overall. Baker Mayfield ain't figured that out yet.
If you think last year's offseason in Cleveland was interesting, I can't wait
to see what starts to happen now.
Meanwhile, week 14 is not done. Big one tonight, Monday Night Football. It's a must win for the Eagles. They're a game back of the Cowboys, as you know, in the NFC East. They're hosting Saquon Barkley and Eli Manning and the Giants. It's 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. Okay, the other huge deal from yesterday, the final college football playoff rankings were decided early Sunday. LSU is the number one overall team in the eyes of the committee, which means the Tigers will face number 4 Oklahoma in the first semifinal December 28th. That'll be the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, LSU's first playoff appearance, and they're a double-digit favorite. In the second semifinal, what a heavyweight battle. Number 2 Ohio State, number 3 Clemson in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Buckeyes are 0-3 all-time against Clemson, including a 31-0 loss in the semis in 2016. The Buckeyes, however, do own the best FPI chance to win it all at 35%. LSU was second at 28%. And as for Dabo Sweeney's Clemson team, he's getting pretty used to being overlooked.
It's the first time since 1966 that a team started the season number 1, went undefeated through the regular season, and finished 3rd. Okay, so that's history. First time that's happened. All right, number 1, so congratulations on that.
Free fuel, when you're going across country, man, free fuel's good. It's expensive. Gas has cost a lot of money, so when you can get free fuel, it's always good.
That was on our special yesterday where they announced it. Rex, I thought of you because, A, you love Clemson, you love Dabo, your son played there, but, B, when you're a coach, that's the kind of thing you dream about, yes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see it right there. It's like any little thing that you can motivate your team with, he does it. And, I mean, look, here we can say what we want, but the polls actually got it right. I mean, LSU deserved to be number 1 because of who they played and all that. Clemson, but make no mistake about it, I still expect Clemson to win this whole thing.
Clemson, by the way, is a 2-point favorite over Ohio State. There's a big difference between what you earned and how good you are. Is the general consensus, Laura, you cover this all the time, do you think most people think Clemson is the best team?
I think so, and I think that's why all of this was shaded around Clemson, Greeny. When everyone was looking at what was going to happen with the seeding here, and specifically that number 1 and number 2 spot, it's because no one wants to play Clemson because of all the respect toward them. So, yes, maybe Dabo's using this as a chip on the shoulder for his team to say, look, everyone's doubting us. These other teams in college football are not doubting Clemson. They do not want to play them. And I don't want to make this about Alabama because they're not a factor in any of this right now. But if you remember what happened to Alabama against Clemson in the national championship game last year, it was because Alabama had gotten complacent. Nick Saban said his team started to feel themselves. They started to feel good about themselves. Dan, Dabo is so scared of that happening with his team. I see fear in what he's doing. The best kind of fear. He's trying so hard to make sure they don't get complacent.
But that's why he takes moments and coaches through them. I talked about the kicker last week. He flipped on his kicker. I talked about him kind of using some, they don't even want us in the playoff. And listen, there's no quarterback in college football playing better than the kid at Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. That is...
I don't agree with that, but go on. I'll let you keep talking.
I love it.
Whoa.
Burrow's okay.
You can't run from it.
Keep running.
There's no running
He's
back
running away.
Better in college football.
He's done.
And there's one defense. God. There's one defense in the country.
Oh, gee, did he really just say that?
Come sit down.
Let me bring Marcus back.
I like this. Stay and preach to him.
Sit down.
Tell him the way it is, Dan.
No, hang on.
Tell him the way it is.
There were three defenses in America going into this weekend who had not given up 21 points. Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia. There's one left. There's one defense who has not given up 21 points in the country this year.
Who did they play, though?
Who did LSU just play?
Yeah, they just played Georgia.
Oh, okay. All right. How many touchdowns they gave up?
I trust your reaction is because you believe Joe Burrow is playing better than
any quarterback. If you've been watching college football, everybody thinks Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in college football. I mean, look, I love you to death.
I wonder what the numbers
say. Numbers? Have you watched the games? Huh. Let's go look at the schedule between LSU and who they play compared to Clemson and who they play.
We're going
to
do the schedule.
You have to.
We're going to do the schedule.
Let me tell you something. If this was flipped, Laura knows better than anybody.
We don't live in a world of ifs, Marcus.
Laura knows me better than anybody. I would crush LSU if they didn't play up to
he
the standard.
He would, and he
would
has.
Kill them.
How did they not play up to the standard?
If they played the schedule that Clemson played, I would sit on this show and say, I don't know if LSU is as good as everybody thinks
they are. They beat everybody by 40. They can only play the teams that are on their schedule. Stop doing
absolutely.
Schedule.
Strength of schedule
absolutely.
Matters, though.
But the schedule
check
matters.
What their record is against the dominant
matters.
Teams in college for the last 3 years.
So why are we ranking teams off of who they play?
This conversation will likely continue through the remainder of our day, but it won't be on TV because First Take is coming up next. Jimmy G and the Niners are trending up. Tom Brady and the Patriots going the other way. Is New England regretting their decision to trade Jimmy Garoppolo? Stephen A. and Max with that and more in the first hour of First Take, which starts in 4 minutes. Eagles, Giants tonight on Monday Night Football. Eli Manning versus Carson Wentz. See you tomorrow. First Take starts now.